Hey there, festive Yuletide. I'm trying to think of two creatures that are also festive, but guys and ghouls, you're still guys and ghouls.
I wanted this to sound like Jingle Bells, but it doesn't. It's not even a bell. You're tuned in to broadcast from the Belfry.
Yeah, there we go.
But these are the same thing. Why do they not?
I don't know.
You're the hilarious, dad jokiest podcast for the morbidly curious this fine Christmas season.
I thought that so I have a soundboard on my phone, and I was hoping that there were
jingle bells
on it, but it's a meme soundboard, so there's not.
Okay, boomer. Okay. Fortnite sucks, man. Just do it!
So, yeah, there's nothing helpful on there.
Nope.
My name's Sanjay, and next to me is my co-host, Georgia. How are you doing, George?
It sounded like you said co-ghost.
Co-ghost. We're both Danny Phantom. I'm Danny, she's Phantom.
Ooh.
Danny Phantom.
That's my ghost noise.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what goes ho, 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 thump?
Me at Tubby's on a Friday.
Because you're calling everyone ho.
Yes. And then I get hit.
And then you get your ass kicked by a private.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's accurate, but the answer I was looking for was Santa laughing his head off.
I don't like that.
Wait, I have one more. I have a ton more, but I'm only going to tell you one more.
Okay.
Why couldn't the skeleton go to the Christmas party?
Why?
He didn't have no body to go with.
Boo.
Oh, boy. I looked up so many Christmas dad jokes, and I'm going to put them on my phone with, like, my reminders going off, so that, like, in increments of 2 hours for the whole 3 days that I'm home,
so you can just scream them
tell
out.
And, like, the one thing that my dad once this year, he said, no phones at the table while we have Christmas dinner.
Okay.
And I will totally, totally stand by that, but my phone will be on the kitchen counter, and every time that reminder goes off, I will get up and I will read at least two jokes. And everyone's gonna love them.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you ready to talk about some ghosties?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, we're gonna talk about some other stuff, and we're gonna talk about ghosties. One more time, you're going to be a filthy street urchin.
Yeah, it's just more and more realistic every time. Like, I just envision myself more in the role.
And every time you come over, you look more and more like a hobo.
That's true.
That's great.
Eventually, I'm just going to be singing Just a Friend by Biz Markie, sitting on a cement stairwell asking for crack. That's an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference.
For anyone that... me together, Luna's here. She is asleep behind us.
That's true.
She's super adorable. And every time I look at her... she's the only thing that warms my heart and makes it melt with happiness. My icy, cold interior melts away with her cute little face and her bald little spots.
Yeah, she's, like, partially naked now, but she's also the happiest she's ever been still.
Yeah.
Like, she's literally so happy right now.
I just think she needs to be shaved.
Yeah.
We'll just give her a fresh start.
Yeah. New year, new fur, you know?
I did get her... post-surgery onesie to protect her delicate dry skin on our upcoming road trip. She has never been to Illinois before. She has been in many states in the car, but not to Illinois.
Hmm.
She also has a coat.
Ooh.
And
I wish it was a pea coat.
But oh my god, she'd look so cute in a pea coat.
She would.
Especially, like, it was purple and it matched mine. And
mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Mother-daughter pea coats.
Yeah. I wish they made hoodies. Oh, we got our merch in, so we're really excited about that.
Oh, yeah, we got all your stuff, dudes.
So if I could have found a hoodie small enough to have our stuff printed on it, I totes would have. So, okay, yeah, we're going to talk about Christmas stuff.
See ya. Yeah. Which way we were like, Sia, and then that just, like, made me really sad, because I love Sia so much. She makes me so emotional. Fuck, have you seen the video for Elastic Heart?
No.
Literally, it's...
Does it make you want to swing from a chandelier?
No, it makes me want to cry in a dumpster. It's, the video is literally a cage, and Maddie Ziegler and Shia LaBeouf are, like, dancing in it, and Maddie Ziegler represents Sia in all of her videos, and Shia LaBeouf represents her dad.
Yeah.
And it's literally, it is so fucking emotional. Ah, man, I would recommend it. Okay. Would recommend watching that video. We're gonna put a link to Elastic Heart in the comments.
So, yeah, the last couple episodes, we have talked about what made the Victorian era so bleak.
The sun disease. Wasn't there yet.
The sun was blocked out by pollution. Exactly. From the factories of the Industrial cholera. Revolution. People were dying of cholera and God knows what else. Mm-hmm. Smallpox.
And big pox. Just pox in general.
Pox in general.
Two pox.
A pox on... What is that from? A pox on... Is it from, like, Disney's Robin Hood or something?
I probably. Remember. I haven't seen that in a very long time.
I have it on
very,
DVD.
Very, very... DVD or VHS?
DVD. Mm, I used to have it on VHS. I used to have it on VHS that my mom recorded from the TV.
Yes.
And it still had... and it was in England, and I very vividly remember there were Fairy Liquid commercials and Lucky Charms commercials. Fairy Liquid is dish soap, for those of you who don't know what British dish soap brands are.
Which is no one. No one knows, I guess, except for you and your mom. We love you, Mom.
There's disease. There's pollution. There's death. It's everywhere.
Memes weren't around yet. No memes.
No memes. No radio. No TV.
Nope.
Just no death video and games. Destruction. Some card games. Like, charades.
I mean, yeah, I think it's just called acting.
But, like, okay, what are you going to act out in charades? Because the things that people always act out in charades are movie titles or books.
I guess plays, but then you could only play charades with people. I guess you're only playing with people in your same social status. So maybe books? But no one could people, was reading accessible at that point?
It was beginning to be, but there were still a lot of people that were illiterate.
Yeah.
Because they had to work in the factories instead of... But also, one of the things that happened with... So, like, yeah, child labor laws weren't a thing then, mm-hmm. but a lot of people who would hire children would pay for them to have 2 hours of schooling, like, a day or something, which is more education than they would have gotten otherwise. So, that was one of the ways they kind of enticed people into letting their children work in factories. Like, they wanted children because, one, they were cheaper labor. Two, especially in a lot of jobs, they have smaller body parts. So if, like, something got stuck in a machine and, like, a grown man's hand couldn't fit in it, like, a child... Like,
hey, Baby Hands Jones, get over here.
Yep.
And then Baby Hands Jones is actually just an 8-year-old. And they're like, use your baby hands. And he's like, they're just called hands.
So that increased literacy a little bit, too. And then just there was more material available to read. Mass-produced things were being printed. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, the printing press is already a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, new technology increased the output of things being printed.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, like, for example, Christmas cards were introduced in 1843 by Sir Henry Cole when he commissioned artist J.C. Horsley to design...
J.C. Horse Lady.
Yes. Horsefly. He commissioned him to design seasonal greeting cards, and he bought 1,000. He had 1,000 printed, and then he sold the extras to the public, and that was really successful. So by 1880, technological advancements within printing meant mass production was possible, and that year, 11.5 million Christmas cards were produced.
And that's how Hallmark started.
So, basically, yeah.
Maybe not, I don't know.
I mean, it was around the 1840s when they tried to make Christmas into, like, they started to commercialize Christmas. So, like, Prince Albert introduced the Christmas tree to Britain because he grew up in Germany where it was kind of a traditional thing left over from pagan stuff, which was kind of different in Britain.
Hallmark was founded in 1910 in Kansas City, Missouri, which I did know. Yeah. What the fuck? Why has no one ever said that? That's crazy.
Isn't there a big Hallmark thing in Lawrence?
Yeah, there's, like,
don't they have, like, a production place there or something?
Yeah, a family friend works there. I think it's, like, the one in Lawrence does cards. Like, that's where most of their cards are. And the one in, Kansas City is mostly, like, wrapping paper and other stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Albert introduced a decorated Christmas tree to Britain from his German heritage upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1848, a drawing of the royal family surrounding their cute little Christmas tree was published in the Illustrated London News. And then everyone was like, oh my god, we want a Christmas tree. We want to be like the royal family. And so the Christmas tree industry exploded, as did the market for ornaments, weirdly. Like, it makes sense, but at the same time, you don't really ever think about there being an industry for ornaments.
Yeah.
But there obviously is. Like, look at Walmart.
Yeah, people buy them, so.
And then candles and edible treats were also used to decorate trees. Let's just skip over that fucking fire hazard. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even want to know how many people's houses burned down. The first advertisement for ornaments was published in 1853. And I also read that the first collection of Christmas carols, the first significant collection of Christmas carols, was published in 1833. But I don't know which ones were in it. I kind of want to, though. There was a huge kind of, I don't know, emergence of...
Renaissance, you could say.
A renaissance of Christmas.
Yes, Christance.
In the 1840s. And that's when... I can't remember what I read, but it said that they were literally looking for a new holiday to commercialize.
What?
And it ended up being Christmas.
What
yeah.
was it before? Or were they just like, we need more commercial?
When Oliver Cromwell held one of whatever the seats that Oliver Cromwell had, he was a Puritan. And he was like, let's not, all of these indulgences are stupid. And mm-hmm. so even though Christmas was celebrated, I mean, we had the pagan days of Christmas, and then mm-hmm. we kind of merged that with the Christian traditions. But he kind of squashed all that in the 1700s because mm-hmm. it was frivolous and wasteful and decadent.
Which is true.
Which
technically,
and
like,
that's the environment that the Industrial Revolution kind of grew out of, was that mm-hmm. like nobody had Christmas Day off. It was just another day. Nobody, you know, mm-hmm. like you go to church on Sunday and then you get like a half day to work or something, you know.
Yeah.
That was it. It was all about working and making money and industry.
Dollar bills.
Yeah, there was no time to, like, I mean, everybody knows Mr. Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. Like, mm-hmm. he's not about any of that shit.
No.
So.
Big douche.
Yeah.
Christmas douche.
Christmas crackers were invented by Tom Smith, which is a made-up name, if I've ever heard one. That is, one of the most generic...
What's the doctor's name? Isn't it John Smith?
John Smith, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you literally just chose the most generic name and was like, are you going to say it's not my name? Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Like, that is people's names, but, like, why? Oh my god, my foot is so asleep right now. He was a... candy store owner, a sweet shop owner, if you will, in Britain, who was inspired by a trip to Paris, also in the 1840s, and he saw some bonbons and was like, I'm gonna make those even better, which is saying a lot, because bonbon means good.
Oh, yeah, I guess it does in French. I only know what bonbons are because of SpongeBob.
I thought you were going to say, I only know what bonbons are because of Doctor Who, and then I was like, I feel like you only know what Christmas crackers are because of Doctor Who,
honestly.
That is
true, yeah. Georgia was like, I don't know if this is supposed to be a surprise. We have Christmas crackers in front of us. And she was like, go get the Christmas crackers. And I was like, where? And she's like, on top of the Christmas stuff. And I was like, there's no crackers here. And she's like, just get them. And I was like,
oh these
British
things.
Christmas crackers. Yes. Not literal Ritz.
Like, in our rewatching of Doctor Who, Stu keeps, like, in the Christmas special, Stu's like, what is everyone wearing these paper hats for? And I'm like, you'll find out at Christmas, don't worry, because we always have Christmas. Like, part of the reason I like going home for Christmas is because it's super, like, we do everything super British still, even though we're over here. Otherwise, it just doesn't feel like Christmas. We bring all of our British traditions. We watch the Doctor Who Christmas special.
Are you excited for that?
I haven't even watched any
of... Oh, yeah,
of,
you haven't.
Yeah.
You need to... That's what we should do.
Let me see... We're gonna do that, but mostly when I say we're gonna watch the Doctor Who Christmas special, we're just gonna go back and watch the old good ones.
Yeah.
But I don't understand, because I'm pretty sure that I made Stu do Christmas crackers with me last year, and I made him wear the paper hat, and I think that he just forgot, which doesn't really surprise me, because he has a terrible memory.
He's got poo-poo memory, like me.
Yeah, I'd argue that it's worse than yours.
It's in different ways.
So I was like, I guess we'll just find out when we get home. I texted my mom and I was like, do we have Christmas crackers? We need Christmas crackers.
Mm-hmm.
Stu doesn't understand paper crowns, and I need him to understand this is the thing that we're going to do, so.
Can you just get them on Amazon now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. It's good to know.
Well, also, my dad was, like, just in England.
Why? Family?
He just went to see my grandma, yeah.
Okay, cool. And British Christmas is 2 days earlier than American Christmas.
So. British Christmas is like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day. It's like a whole 3 day ordeal.
I thought Boxing Day was Canadian.
It's also Canadian, yeah.
Oh.
Canada was a British, is a British Commonwealth, yeah. So.
I think they still have the Queen on their money, yeah.
Shout out to Justin Trudeau for being himself.
Mm, shout out to Trudes. Luna jumped off the bed, walked over me, over my arm, like over my... Jumped over my legs.
Oh, she's purring real hard right now.
Squeezed between, like, all the recording stuff. Went past Georgia just so she could eat. Even though she could have just, like, jumped straight down.
On the other side of the bed.
Yeah. But, you know, she did it the fun way.
She wanted to do it in the way that got her the most attention.
Exactly.
Like I was saying, Christmas crackers were invented by Tom Smith, his made-up name and his made-up job and his made-up bullshit.
Yep.
He was inspired by his trip to Paris. And it wasn't until, so that was in the 1840s, and then it wasn't until the 1860s when the explosive crack was added.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically got what we have today. So we're going to pull our fucking crackers. And we're going to wear the stupid paper hats for the rest of this recording.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, do we do it now?
Yeah, we do it now.
I don't know how these work.
Okay, we'll just pull this one.
Pull yours?
Grab hold and pull. Okay. See, you won. Good job, buddy.
Sweet.
Okay, but we always do two, so then everyone, you know, like, everyone gets one.
I'm wearing
one.
Both if I get both.
No.
For those of you who can't see.
Smell this.
I won both.
Smell it. Smell this.
What's that smell?
It's the cracker. It's the explosive.
Oh.
That's why they're called crackers, because they go, cracka. Or they, like, Cracker Barrel.
Oh, yeah, but I won both. But Georgia stole mine, so.
What did the policeman say to his stomach? The best part about crackers is the terrible jokes.
What?
You're under a vest.
Boo. What did the fish say when it swam into a wall?
I don't know.
Damn.
Oh my god, there's a fake mustache in mine.
Which is the largest ocean?
The Pacific.
Yeah, that's just a fact.
It's a trivia question.
Okay.
Which river runs through London?
The London River.
No.
The Nile.
The Thames. The Nile isn't even... My note... I think this is for a child-sized nose.
I think so. What are these? Are these bowling pins?
But I'm gonna... Is it like mini bowling? Oh my god, it's like mini bowling.
Yeah, it's mini bowling. That's so cool.
I just want to see on my nose. Oh, it hurts. You could put this in your nose.
I probably could. I have a really tiny septum.
Also, just go in your septum holes.
Yeah. Oh, also, people that don't know me in real life, I have my septum pierced. And I have a tiny septum.
I think this is gonna be too big for my head. This smells like incense.
Oh, this unfolds way more than I thought it was going to.
Nailed it.
Good enough.
Alright, let's continue on. This really hurts my nose. I gotta take it off. Now, let's talk about ghost stories, finally.
Ghost stories.
Even if it's not a Christmas ghost story, tons of horror stories are set in winter. Some people argue that Frankenstein is a winter's tale because it begins in December and ends with Frankenstein's monster floating away on an iceberg.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. The Shining, prime example. Snow. They're snowed in to a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
They can't leave.
That's true. I've never seen or read The Shining. Fun fact.
Well, they're snowed into a hotel. But it makes sense because the longest nights are in winter.
Yeah.
It's literally the season where everything is dead.
That's true.
So, it's just,
yeah, I personally die every winter.
I love winter.
I hate winter.
I love winter.
But I'm from Georgia, so that's like probably part of it.
Yeah, I'm from England. In Britain, the nights are long here. I mean, it gets dark at, what, like 5 o'clock here right now?
Yeah, golden hour was like 4:24 to like 5 something. It was dumb. Or like barely 5.
Britain is slightly more north than, well, definitely more north than we are, and slightly more north than most of America.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, last time I was over there was for my granddad's funeral. But I remember my dad and I were walking around down the beach, and I remember that it was getting dark at not quite 4. It was like just before 4 when it was starting to get dark.
What the
like
heck?
3:30, 4 o'clock. So the nights are even longer there. So nights are really long there.
Yeah, what the? That sounds awful.
Well, you're further north.
I mean, yeah.
So, but I really like, I think that's probably part of the reason I like really long nights, because they don't get as long here as they do there. So I just kind of thrive in.
Mm-hmm.
Also, all of my fashion sense is...
It's winter.
Is winter. I like coats, I like boots, I like scarves, I wear black all the time. I'm a jewel tone person.
I wear a lot. I love wearing like blues and stuff. I'm wearing a blue shirt right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I like don't like winter, and like I thrive in the summer. But I don't own like anything summer colored. So
gross.
Yeah, but my favorite color is red.
A Christmas Carol is probably the first thing that people think of when they think of, you know, Christmas and ghost stories. Mm-hmm. That was written in 1843, like I was saying earlier. It coincided with that emergence of Christmas cards and like tree ornaments and all of the kind of commercial things that go with mm-hmm. Christmas now.
It's also the same year Scrooge McDuck was born.
Really?
No.
No.
Yeah. I wish that'd be cool though, right?
Like, I thought you meant as a character. Like,
yeah,
in...
right? That would have been so cool.
I mean, he is named Scrooge.
Yeah.
Just like Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah.
And he rolls around in his rooms full of piles of money.
Yeah. The dream. Actually, very uncomfortable. Would not recommend.
And I think didn't we talk a little bit that one time about the late 19th century, like gentlemen's clubs, writers' clubs, they got together around Christmas and told ghost stories and...
Oh, yeah, we did.
We talked a little bit about that, right?
I think so. I think, or we talked about it, like, outside of the podcast.
Cool.
But we've definitely talked about it.
We talked about it. That's all that matters. That happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's where people like M.R. James, who is a pretty famous...
Mr. James.
Yeah, Mr. James, E.F. Benson, Algernon Blackwood, Sir Andrew Caldecott. They were all these like early weird fiction short story writers. If you're into that, most of their stuff is online. It's public domain, so you can just find their short stories online. And for a Christmas treat, I gave Sanjay 3 titles. He did not know they were titles.
No. I did not.
But I made him pick one with zero context.
Yeah, I chose, I think, Mr. Smee.
It's just called Smee.
I chose Smee because it sounds gross already and upsets me, so I probably can't be more upset than I was when I read it. Like, read the name. The other ones were, too potentially happy, and I would try to err on the side of optimism, and I knew I was going to be let down.
His other choices were the Kit Bag.
This Kit Bag reminds me of Kit Kats, you know? Like, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's about a haunted bag.
Oh, no. It's the opposite of what I want. Unless it's haunted with a lot of Kit Kats.
Christmas reunion. I want a bag that's haunted. Can I still eat the Kit Kats?
Yeah,
like, okay.
Definitely.
Yeah,
but
I
it'll, like, what is it? Fuck. It's, like, the random chart from D&D. So
yeah.
So you have to, like, roll a percentile dice, and you whatever, like, happens, you know?
Yeah. Break me off a piece of that...
Chrysler car. Fancy. I love, that's my favorite thing about The Office, is one, Andy Bernard, you know, Andy Bernard, Broccoli Rob is Broccoli Rob, Andy Bernard is the boner champ, which I keep yelling every time.
Nard dog.
Yeah, every time with one of my friends, and it's that, like, he just cannot remember that jingle. Break me off a piece of that fancy feast.
So then the other one was Christmas Reunion.
Which sounds like National Lampoon's...
High School Reunion. No. High School Musical.
Yeah,
High School Reunion. Why did I think of that?
High School Reunion, the musical.
Ugh,
High School Musical, the TV show, I think is the full name of it. That show's supposed to be pretty funny, and it's just super dramatic.
That sounds awful.
It's literally a show about a high school... a show about a high school that is putting on High School Musical... Like, that's it. So it's, like, a fictionalized TV show about a school that's putting on High School Musical, and it's supposed to be the most dramatic.
That sounds awful.
I would love it.
So, yeah, Sanjay picked Smee.
Smee.
Written by A.M. Burridge. And it was written later than Victorian. It was written in 1931, but it it was written in the same spirit of ghost story, Christmas ghost stories, things.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to read it to you.
The whole thing?
It's really short.
How short? You know I'm prone to fall asleep.
It's real short.
Okay.
I encourage you to interject with your thoughts and reactions. It's Me by A.M. Burridge. I don't know why I said it like that.
Dumb name.
Look, 18 minute read time. You got this.
That's so long.
No, it's not.
18 minutes?
So just read it to your...
Oh, I'm reading it to myself. Okay,
well,
that's
no,
fine.
Well, no, I'm reading it. No! Said Jackson with a deprecatory... Fuck's sake. We're off to a great start.
Yeah, George is illiterate. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Deprecatory smile. I'm sorry, I don't want to upset your game. I shan't be doing that because you'll have plenty without me, but I'm not playing any games of hide and seek.
I mean, hide and seek's a pretty solid game. I've never been disappointed.
It was Christmas Eve, and we were a party of 14 with just the proper leavening of youth. We had dined well. It was the season for childish games, and we were all in the mood for playing them. All, that is, except Jackson.
Classic Jackson.
When somebody suggested hide-and-seek, there was rapturous and almost unanimous approval. His was the one dissentient voice.
Dude, Jackson sucks. He's the one dentist that is like, fuck your toothpaste. every time.
It was not like Jackson to spoil sport or refuse to do as others wanted.
Not someone, what I've heard.
Somebody asked him if he were feeling seedy. No, he answered. I feel perfectly fit, thanks. But, he added with a smile, which softened without retracting the flat refusal, I'm not playing hide and seek.
The way that reads to me is that someone's like, hey dude, are you okay? You normally want to play games. And he's like, no, I'm totally shredded, bro. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. And they're like, that's not what I asked. And he's like, yeah, I'm shredded.
I know. Why not? Someone asked. He hesitated for a moment before replying, I sometimes go and stay at a house where a girl was killed. She was playing hide and seek in the dark. She didn't know the house very well. There was a door that led to the servant's staircase. When she was chased, she thought the door led to a bedroom. She opened it and jumped and landed at the bottom of the stairs. She broke her neck, of course.
How far did she yeet herself where she completely went, she didn't touch a single step? That reads as if she was away from the top of the stairs, ran, and then just, head first, woo! Yeah.
We all looked serious. Mrs. Fernley said, how terrible, and were you there when it happened? Jackson shook his head sadly. No, he said, but I was there when something worse happened.
Okay.
What could be worse than that? This was, said Jackson. He hesitated for a moment, then he said, I wonder if any of you have ever played a game called Smee. It's much better than hide and seek. The name comes from It's Me, of course. Perhaps you'd like to play it instead of hide and seek. Let me tell you all the rules to the game. Every player is given a sheet of paper. All the sheets except one are blank. On the last sheet of paper is written Smee. Nobody knows who Smee is except himself or herself. So PC for being 1931.
Yeah, right.
You turn out the lights and Smee goes quietly out of the room and hides. After a time, the others go off to search for Smee, but they of course don't know who they're looking for. It's basically sardines, let's be real.
Yeah.
When one player meets another, he challenges him by saying Smee. The other player answers Smee, and they continue searching together. But the real Smee doesn't answer when someone challenges. The second player stays quietly beside him. Presently, they will be discovered by a third player. He will challenge and receive no answer, and he will join the first two. This goes on until all of the players are in the same place. The last one to find Smee has to pay a forfeit. It's a good, noisy, amusing game. In a big house, it often takes a long time for everyone to find Smee. Perhaps you'd like to try. I'll happily pay my forfeit and sit here by the fire while you play. I mean, honestly, I would sit by the fire while some other people playing annoying games.
Yeah, I would take a nap while everyone's just being a dingus. Right. Sounds great.
It sounds a good game, I remarked. Have you played it too, Jackson? Yes, he answered. I played it in the house that I was telling you about. And she was there, the girl who broke her neck. No, no, said someone else. He told her she wasn't there. He wasn't there when she broke her neck. Jackson thought for a moment. I don't know if she was there or not. I'm afraid she was. I know that there were 13 of us playing the game, and there were only 12 people in the house, and I didn't know the dead girl's name. When I heard When I heard that whispered name in the dark, it didn't worry me. But I tell you, I'm never going to play that kind of game again. It made me quite nervous for a long time. I prefer to pay my forfeit at once.
Okay.
We all stared at him. His words did not make sense at all.
I agree, yes.
Tim Vouse was the kindest man in the world. He smiled at us all. This sounds like an interesting story, he said. Come on, Jackson. You can tell it to us instead of paying a forfeit. Very well, said Jackson. And here is his story. Have you met the Sangstons? No. They are cousins of mine, and they live in Surrey. 5 years ago, they invited me to go to spend Christmas with them. It was an old house with lots of unnecessary passages and staircases. A stranger could get lost in it quite easily. Well, I went down for that Christmas. Violet Sangston promised me that I knew most of the other guests. Unfortunately, I couldn't get away from my job until Christmas Eve because of the, capitalism.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All the other guests had arrived there the previous day. I was the last to arrive, and I was only just in time for dinner. I said hello to everyone I knew, and Violet introduced me to the people I didn't. Then it was time to go to dinner. This is perhaps why I didn't hear the name of a tall, dark-haired, handsome girl whom I hadn't met before.
Ooh.
Everyone was in rather a hurry, and I am always bad at catching people's names. She looked cold and clever. She didn't look at all friendly, but she looked interesting, and I wondered who she was.
I think this is also the girl from Short Skirt, Long Jacket by Cake.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure these are the same descriptions.
I was thinking that it's Samara from The Ring, but oh. Sure.
I like a girl who's cold and handsome. That's like, yeah, that's the tone that reads in.
Yeah. I didn't ask because I was sure that someone would speak to her by name during the meal. Unluckily, however, I was a long way from her at the table. I was sitting next to Mrs. Gorman, and as usual, Mrs. Gorman was being very bright and amusing. Her conversation is always worth listening to, and I completely forgot to ask the name of the dark, proud girl. Ooh. There were 12 of us, including the Sangstons. We were all young, or trying to be young. Jack and Violet Sangston were the oldest, and their 17-year-old son, Reggie, was the youngest. It was he who suggested Smee when the talk turned to games. He told us the rules just as I've described them to you. Jack warned us all, if you are going to play games in the dark, he said, please be careful of the back stairs on the first floor. The door leads to them, and I've often thought about taking the door off. In the dark, a stranger to the house could think they were walking into a room. A girl really did break her neck on those stairs.
Ugh.
Why are you going to take a door off?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, then there's just a hole.
Yeah, then people are just going to fall. That's dumb. Put some caution tape. Put a flashlight. Put a lamp. I don't know.
Lock the door.
Yeah, lock the door.
I asked how it happened. It was about 10 years ago, before we came here. There was a party, and they were playing hide and seek. The girl was looking for somewhere to hide. She heard someone coming and ran along the passage to get away, opened the door, thinking it led to a bedroom. She planned to hide there until the seeker had gone. Unfortunately, it was the door to the back stairs. She fell straight down to the bottom of the stairs. She was dead when they picked her up.
That's how death happens, normally.
Right. Yes. We all promised to be careful. Mrs. Gorman even made a little joke about living to be 90. You see, none of us had known the poor girl, and we did not want to feel sad on Christmas Eve. Well, we all started the game immediately after dinner. Young Reggie went around making sure all the lights were off, except the ones in the servants' rooms and in the sitting room where we were. We then prepared 12 sheets of paper, 11 blank and on... Jesus Christ. And one of them had Smee written on it. Reggie mixed them all up, and we each took one. The person who got the paper with Smee went to hide. I looked at mine and saw that it was blank. A moment later, all the electric lights went out. In the darkness, I heard someone moving very quietly towards the door. After a minute, somebody blew a whistle. We all rushed to the door. I had no idea who was Smee. For 5 or 10 minutes, we were all rushing up and down passages and in and out of rooms, challenging each other and answering, Smee, Smee. After a while, the noise died down, and I guessed that someone had found Smee. After a time, I found a group of people all sitting on some narrow stairs. I challenged and received no answer, so Smee was there. I hurriedly joined the group. Presently, 2 more players arrived. Each one was hurrying to avoid being the last. But it was Jack, and he was given a forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
This is unnecessary information. I think we're all here now, aren't we? He remarked. He lit a match, looked up the staircase, and began to count. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, he said, and then laughed. That's silly, there's one too many. The match went out, and he lit another and began to count. He got as far as 12, then he looked puzzled. There are 13 people here, he said. I haven't counted myself yet. Oh, nonsense, I laughed. You probably began with yourself, and now you want to count yourself twice. You giant idiot. That was me.
Real friends. That part. Yeah, no, that's also in the story. Big stupid.
I mean, but that's how how anyone would talk now.
Mm-hmm.
His son took out his electric torch. It gave better light than the matches, and we all began to count. Of course, there were 12 of us. Jack laughed. Well, he said, I was sure I counted 13 twice. From halfway up the stairs, Violet spoke nervously. I thought there was somebody sitting two steps above me. Have you moved, Captain Ransom? The captain said he hadn't, but I thought there was somebody sitting between me and Mrs. Sangstern. Just for a moment, there was an uncomfortable something in the air. It was a fart. A cold finger seemed to touch us all.
Gross.
For the moment, we all felt that something odd and unpleasant had just happened, and
we all just got fingered, yeah.
By a cold finger.
Consent, please.
And it was likely to happen again. Then we laughed at ourselves and at each other, and we felt normal again. There were only 12 of us, and that was that. Still laughing, we marched back to the sitting room to begin again. This time, I was Smee. Violet Sangston found me while I was searching for a hiding place. That game didn't last long. Idiot. Soon there were 12 people, and the game was over. Violet felt cold and wanted her jacket. Her husband went up to fetch it. As soon as he'd gone, Reggie touched me on the arm. He was looking pale and sick. Quick, he whispered. I've got to talk to you. Something horrible has happened. Mm-hmm. We went into the breakfast room. What's the matter? I asked. I don't know. You were Smee last time, weren't you? Well, of course I didn't know who Smee was. While Mother and the others ran to the west side of the house and found you, I went east. There's a deep clothes cupboard in my bedroom. It looked like a good hiding place. I thought perhaps Smee might be there. I opened the door in the dark and touched somebody's hand. Smee, I whispered. There was no answer. I thought I'd found Smee. Well, I don't understand it, but I suddenly had a strange cold feeling. I can't describe it, but I felt something that was wrong, so I turned on my electric torch and there was nobody there. Now I'm sure I touched a hand and nobody could get out of that cupboard because I was standing in the doorway. What do you think? You imagined that you touched a hand, I said. He gave a short laugh. I knew you'd say that, he said. Of course I imagined it. That's the only explanation, isn't it? Isn't it? I agreed with him. I could see that he still felt shaken. Together, we returned to the sitting room for another game of Smee. The others were all ready and waiting to start again. Perhaps it was my imagination, although I'm almost sure that it was not, but I had a feeling that nobody was really enjoying the game anymore.
Yeah, on account of the fucking ghosts.
But everyone was too polite to mention it. All the same, I had the feeling that something was wrong. All the fun had gone out of the game. Something deep inside me was trying to warn me. Take care, it whispered. Take care. Is it a mother ghost inside your body waving you off to college?
No, it's, I don't know, that's not what I was gonna say. It's Gerard Way just whispering sweet nothings to you, but yeah. No.
There was some unnatural, unhealthy influence at work in the house. Why did I have this feeling? Because Jack had counted 13 people instead of 12?
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Because his son had imagined he touched someone's hand in an empty cupboard? I tried to laugh at myself, but I did not succeed. Well, we started again. While we were all chasing the unknown Smee...
Everyone's still not having fun? All right, let's do this one more time. Really bottom out on fun today.
While we were all chasing the unknown Smee, we were all as noisy as ever, but it seemed to me that most of us were just acting. We were no longer enjoying the game. At first, I stayed with the others, but for several minutes, no Smee was found. I left the main group and started searching the first floor on the west side of the house. And there, while I was feeling my way along, I bumped into a pair of human knees. Disembodied human knees.
Just floating.
I put my hand and touched a soft, heavy curtain. Then I knew where I was. There were tall, deep windows with window seats at the end of the passage.
Ooh.
The curtains reached around. Reach around.
Yeah, they did.
The curtains reached to the ground.
Won't be the only reach around.
Ghosty reach arounds.
Mm-hmm. I'd watch that.
With
watch
cold that. Fingers. Somebody was sitting in a corner of one of the window seats behind a curtain. Aha, I thought, I've caught Smee. So I pulled the curtain to one side and touched a woman's arm. It was a dark, moonless night outside. I couldn't see the woman sitting in the corner of the window seat. Smee, I whispered. There was no answer. When Smee is challenged, he or she does not answer. This game is very repetitive, or the story is very repetitive on the rules.
Yeah.
So I sat down beside her to wait for the others. Then I whispered, what's your name? And out of the darkness beside me, the whisper came, Brenda Ford. I did not know the name, but I guessed at once who she was. I knew every girl in the house by name except one, and that was a tall, pale, dark girl. So here she was sitting beside me on the window seat, shut in between a heavy curtain and a window. I was beginning to enjoy the game. He got a crush.
He does.
I wondered if she was enjoying it too. I whispered one or two rather ordinary questions to her and received no answer. SME is a game of silence. It is a rule of the game that SME and the person or persons who have found SME have to keep quiet. This, of course, makes it harder for the others to find them. But there was nobody else about. I wondered, therefore, why she insisted on silence. I spoke again and got no answer. I began to feel a little annoyed. Perhaps she's one of those cold, clever girls who have a poor opinion of all men.
No,
I
she's
thought.
Just in real life leaving you on red, like sitting next to each other, just ignoring entirely.
Oh boy. She doesn't like me and she's using the rules of the game as an excuse for not speaking. Well, if she doesn't like sitting here with me, I certainly don't want to sit with her. I turned away from her. I hope someone finds us soon, I thought.
Rude.
As I sat there, I realized I dislike sitting beside this girl very much indeed, because you can feel that she's fucking dead.
Yeah, exactly.
That was strange. The girl I had seen at dinner had seemed likable in a cold kind of way. He's just talking about me, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
I noticed her and wanted to know more about her, but now I felt really uncomfortable beside her. That's me. The feeling of something wrong, something unnatural, was growing. I remember touching her arm, and I trembled with horror. I wanted to jump away and run away. To jump up and run away. I prayed that someone else would come along soon. Just then, I heard light footsteps in the passage, somebody on the other side of the curtain brushing into my knees. The curtain moved to one side, and a woman's hand touched my shoulder. "Smee," whispered a voice that I recognized at once. It was Mrs. Gorman. Of course, she received no answer. She came and sat down beside me, and at once I felt very much better.
Yeah, because you're not just sitting next to a fucking ghost.
It's Tony Jackson, isn't it? She whispered. I know a guy named Tony Jackson. We used to call him Mad Dog. That tells you anything about him. Yes, I whispered back. You're not Smee, are you? No, she's on my other side. She reached out across me. I heard her fingernail scratch on a woman's silk dress. Hello, Smee. How are you? Who are you? Oh, is it against the rules to talk? Never mind, Tony. We'll break the rules. Do you know, Tony, this game is beginning to annoy me. She just keeps talking. Do you know, Tony, this game is beginning to annoy me a little. I hope they aren't going to play it all evening. I'd like to play a nice, quiet game, all together beside a warm fire. Me too, I agreed. Can't you suggest something to them? There's something rather unhealthy about this particular game. I'm sure I'm being very silly, but I can't get rid of the idea that we've got an extra player. Somebody who ought to... I said that. Almost British.
Yeah, you like got an accent out of nowhere. That was crazy.
Somebody who ought not to be here at all. That was exactly how I felt, but I didn't say so. However, I felt very much better. Mrs. Gorman's arrival had chased away my fears. We sat talking. I wonder when the others will find us, said Mrs. Gorman. After a time, we heard the sound of feet and young Reggie's voice shouting, "Hello, hello, is anybody there?" "Yes," I answered. "Is Mrs. Gorman with you?" "Yes." "What happened to you? You've both got forfeits. We've been waiting for you for hours."
"What?"
"But you haven't found Smee yet." Oh, your crown
my
just
crown.
Attacked me.
Yeah.
"But you haven't found Smee yet," I complained. "You haven't, you mean. I was Smee this time." "But Smee is here with us," I cried. "Yes," agreed Mrs. Gorman. The curtain was pulled back and we sat looking into the eye of Reggie's electric torch. That's rude. Thanks for blinding me.
Yeah, right.
I looked at Mrs. Gorman. And then on my other side, between me and the wall, was an empty place on the window seat. I stood up at once. Then I sat down again. I was feeling very sick, and the world seemed to be going round and round. "There was somebody there," I insisted. "I touched her." "So did I," said Mrs. Gorman in a trembling voice. "And I don't think anyone could leave this window seat without us knowing." Reggie gave a shaky little laugh. I remembered his unpleasant experience earlier that evening. "Somebody's been playing jokes," he said. "Are you coming down?"
"Somebody's been phasing in and out of the ethereal plane. Ha ha ha."
So funny. Yeah. Ow, I just ripped my fingernail. Right. Ow.
I mean, literally, I guess.
Yeah. We were not very popular when we came down to the sitting room. "I found the two of them sitting behind a curtain on a window seat," said Reggie. "I went up to the tall, dark girl. So you pretended to be Smee and then went away," I accused her. She shook her head, which... Did anyone see him doing that? Because he probably looked like a crazy person.
Yeah.
Afterwards, we all played cards in the sitting room, and I was very glad. Sometime later, Jack wanted to talk to me. I could see that he was rather cross with me and soon told me the reason. Tony, he said, I suppose you're in love with Mrs. Gorman. That's your business, but please don't make love to her in my house during a game.
What the fuck?
You kept everyone waiting. It was rude of you, and I'm ashamed of you.
What?
But we weren't alone, I protested. There was somebody else there, somebody who was pretending to be Smee. I believe it was that tall, dark girl, Miss Ford. She whispered her name to me. Of course she refused to admit it afterwards. Jack stared at me. Miss who? He breathed. Brenda Ford, she said. Jack put a hand on my shoulder. Look here, Tony, he said. I don't mind a joke, but enough is enough. We don't want to worry the ladies. Brenda Ford is the name of the girl who broke her neck on the stairs. She was playing hide and seek here 10 years ago.
I never would have expected that. No.
The end.
Wait, that was it?
Yep.
That's a dumb ending. We literally knew already. Like, what? That was awful.
Yep.
Do they play the game in real, like, in present time?
I don't know.
Because that was him retelling the story.
Yeah. That's how a lot of those stories are. It's like a story within a story.
But they never, like, we never get conclusion in the main story?
Sometimes.
Boo.
Just not that time.
Boo.
Yep.
But now we know who Brenda Ford was.
You should have picked Kit Bag, dude.
But Kit Kats.
You should have picked the Kit. You should have picked the Kit Bag, and we could have eaten Kit Kats.
That would have been,
and we could have broken off a piece of that
fancy feast. I'm not upset. I'm just disappointed.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed.
If your name is Brenda Ford and you're listening to this podcast, please tell us how you feel about transcending
time. I feel like I should know someone with that name. That's the weird part.
I think it's Brenda's like an older name.
Yeah. My grandma's neighbor's named Brenda.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever one of my former coworkers, would get mad at a customer that was just being really complicated, she would yell, "Damn, Brenda!"
Instead of Karen.
Mm-hmm. Always Brenda.
Should have picked the Kit Bag, man.
I should have picked the Kit Bag. Next time I would.
Maybe next Christmas we'll tell. Maybe this will be our Christmas tradition.
Yes. Me picking the wrong story to interest me.
Yeah. Well, happy Christmas, as they say.
I didn't know that was a British thing.
Yeah.
So apparently in China, when people are learning English, the primary English that's learned is like British English.
Yeah, because of Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
of the British Empire.
Yeah. So Chinese immigrants will most of the time say, like, happy Christmas and stuff like that, specific British isms,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know that was why. So, but yeah, Merry Christmas, happy Christmas, happy Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and Festivus. I think that's it. And Yule is also happening now. I think.
Yule.
If you enjoy today's podcast, feel free to leave us a like, subscribe, or comment. You can find us anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including Apple Casts. Also, you can contact us via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram by searching Broadcast from the Belfry or by emailing us at broadcastfromthebelfry.com. We love hearing from you guys, seeing all the stuff you do. We love you all. And what do we say to the kind, festive people, or non-festive, I don't care what you do, this season?
Thanks for listening, and stay spooky.
Jingle, jingle, slut, bell, bell.
Hey, Billy. Come on, you.